the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Now, it was a bank holiday weekend back in Ireland, but as they say, there is no rest for the wicked. And one man who was busy at work covering club GAA action and the Dublin Marathon was sports journalist Colleen Duffy. And he joins me right now on the phone. Hello, Colleen.
Hello, Anthony. And certainly plenty of wicked-looking costumes in the Dublin Marathon yesterday. Of course, Halloween today as well. So I'm definitely not a wicked one anyway, but there was certainly plenty of wicked-looking costumes yesterday in the marathon.
Now, you were covering the race itself. How did it go?
It went brilliant, and the weather was perfect. It was slightly warm, and nice breeze, no rain to talk about. So that's exactly what the competitors want in a marathon as well. I suppose I was talking to some of them actually, maybe afterwards, it was a bit too warm. I suppose the ozone layer and the tropical climates we have certainly adding to all that. It was quite interesting though. I suppose on a more serious note, 19,500 taking part. It was the biggest ever SSE or Tricity Dublin Marathon yesterday, and credit to all who finished the race. I was looking at some of the times again earlier, and anyone out there who knows anyone taking part, if you go onto the Dublin Marathon website, every single time is there. Just type in the name, or if you know their number, even better, and you'll guess where they came in their category. So if you were a female from 55 to 59, it'll tell you exactly where. It'll tell you how far you or how good you were, whether you're male or female, and then it'll tell you your overall placing as well. So quite minute detail there as well. And also while the race was going on, it had average pace, potential time for guys and girls to finish at. So that was good for the supporters, and many of them were along the route yesterday cheering all the competitors on. 60 different countries represented. I think it was a figure of 5,700 from overseas, and that means it surpassed the London Marathon in terms of overseas competitors as well. It's now the fourth biggest marathon in Europe, but just a shame that there's no live TV for the event, but that would cost in the region of €350,000 to pull that off. So it might be a while before that happens, yeah.
Now, just kind of looking at the coverage yesterday as well. At the start of the marathon, there was a motorbike on the course. What was the story with that?
Yeah, obviously we're keeping a look on my Facebook page. It was quite busy posting yesterday as well. And oddly enough, it was something we didn't actually notice at the time, because we were right at the start. This was a little bit further down the street, but a BMW motorcycle was parked in the middle of the course. Now, funnily enough here, it wasn't parked in a parking spot. There was 1,400 odd volunteers, loads of supporters around, obviously, as well, along with the 19,500 taking part. But nobody seemed to notice it. It was there for a couple of minutes before it was removed. The race director, Jim Ockney, told me yesterday that was a mere blip, but it could have been a big health and safety concern. He was telling me that the angle of the photo resulted in a different perspective in terms of distance away from the runners. But in reality, if you followed the road along the ground, if you like, In the photograph, there wasn't that much distance. And you could see from the look on some of the faces of the runners as well that it was indeed pretty close. But it was, I suppose, a mere blip in overall what was a successfully staged event. There was no other problems to report. The only other issue was that obviously with such a big number taking part in the marathon, and they all go off in separate waves about 10 minutes apart, I think it was. So there was four different waves, and for when the second wave went, the race announcer was trying to get a Mexican wave going, and he shouted 3, 2, 1, and about probably 50 to 100 runners actually started before the actual second wave time, but they were all called back. But there was a bit of confusion then because they'd passed the line, and obviously their chip had started recording their actual time was going to be recorded properly once they once they crossed the start line for the second time. So that was probably the only other issue on what was a very successful event.
And who were the kind of the big winners of the day then itself?
Well, obviously the Africans are always very strong, be it track, be it field, be it on the road. And again, that was the case yesterday as well. And certainly a very competitive event. Not quite the record times that they might have been expecting, but it was certainly strong nonetheless. Ethiopian Zerita Tulu, he was crowned the overall marathon winner. The Addis Ababa native finishing in 2 hours, 12 minutes, 18 seconds, with 2.5 minutes also to spare ahead of fellow countryman Zerita Baika. And certainly Tulu very pleased with his win. He said it was a great day and good for him to be number one. He led from the third mile until the end. Latvian born Sergio Cabano, he was the first Irishman over the line. That was in a time of 2:17.40, and he lives in Tipperary, of course, at the moment, and he was happy with his run. Of course, he missed out in selection for the Olympics earlier this year, as did second place Sean Hare. So a bit of controversy there, but Sergio was keen to put that all behind him. And he said, of course, the pressure was on. People were expecting me to prove that I can run a marathon. So, yeah, it was tough. Namibian Helena Johannes, she took the women's title 2 hours, 32 minutes, 32 seconds. And an incredibly competitive race here. The tightest has ever been in the Dublin Marathon. She finished just 1 second ahead of Aita Gebreyes as well. And she said, this country is a beautiful country. The people from Dublin really like people. And that's why I really love to come here. It was her second time, of course, winning. She previously finished first in 2011. Then in the women's, in terms of the Irish, Laura Graham from Down, she was the first home, 2:41.54. And she had also won the Fingal 10K in Swords in July. Of course, the Dublin Marathon finishing the SSE Airtricity Race Series, which includes a 5 mile run, a 10K run, and a half marathon before the big one obviously took place yesterday. Nathman Patrick Monaghan, well, he claimed his third wheelchair title in a row in a time of 1:39.19. Of course, Patrick took part in the Paralympics this year, but picked up a bug over in Rio. But he was certainly happy with yesterday's race. And indeed, his mother took part, his mother Anne-Marie, and she finished in a time of 6 hours, 1 minute and a couple of seconds as well. So it was a real family affair. And certainly overall in the race, there was plenty of happy faces, plenty of joy, loads of good support, great weather, and lots and lots of people happy with the event. And just, I suppose, a slight side note as well, of course, it kind of, I suppose, has run its course, pardon the pun, but it's still 100 years since 1916. And those commemorations continued in the marathon yesterday. All the marathon runners getting a medal crossing the finish line with the 1916 logo as well. So that'll be something now that'll adorn the mantelpieces, etc., right around Ireland and indeed in the 60 countries from around the world. That had people taking part as well. A nice memento following a grueling 26.2 mile run.
Yeah, that's quite a great keepsake to have, isn't it? Also this weekend we had Club GA action, Provincial Games and also County Finals. Tell us more about those, Colleen.
Well, jam-packed, and I suppose what I'll do is I'll start with the Leinster Club Championship first because there was a big result, a big win for Road from Offaly, the 27-time Offaly champions against Wexford side Gus Aran, who'd picked up their first Wexford title in 40 years. 5:22 to 4 points it finished in this one. And the visitors with 4 goals before the break in New Ross, Paul McPadden, Niall Derby and Rory McNamee on target. 4:10 to a point ahead at half-time and then a fisted Paul McPadden goal late on completing the rout. Road now advanced to meet Meath champions Simonstown Gales in the last 8. Of course, Simonstown picking up their first Meath title yesterday. But I suppose the interesting one on the Road-Gus Aran game is to look back over Gus Aran's Twitter account, because they were certainly trying to make the most of a very one-sided encounter. And I think the last tweet was, "We got rode in this game." So, certainly a bit of humour brought to a bad day for Gus Aran yesterday, and I'm sure they'll be back. I mentioned Simonstown Gales win. They beat Dunmore Ashburn in the Meath final, the first final win, as I said. And we've been talking a lot over the last couple of weeks about first-time champions in close games. OK, Rhodes game against Gus Aran wasn't close, but again, these first-time champions are coming out of the woodwork in close games. There was a couple of replay county finals over the weekend as well. I don't know what it is about 2016, but it's funny. I was saying to the girls who looked after the PR for the Dublin Marathon yesterday, they also look after the AIB account. And I was just saying, when the Dublin Senior Football Final takes place next weekend, after that, all the county finals will have been played. And it'll be interesting to go back over the statistics of everyone that's won senior county championships this year and to see how many first-time winners there's been, because there's certainly been quite a lot. Of course, Castleknock, chasing a first Dublin title next weekend against St. Vincent's, a Castleknock side that are only formed 18 years. But I suppose just to go down through the rest of the Leinster Club Championship action yesterday, Longford's Mullinocht staged a strong second half display. They beat Stradbally 117-29 at Glennon Brothers Pierce Park. Donald McGilligott with a nearly goal, but Conor Delaney netted the side's level 1-6 after 24 minutes. Then Gary Comerford slotting home a penalty goal for Stradbally. They took the lead at the break, but they were reduced to 14 men on the restart following a straight red for Darren Maher, and they never recovered from that. First-time champions in Louth, Sean O'Mahony's, they're through to the Leinster quarterfinals. A one-point win over Baltinglass and Aucrim by 10 points to 9. Five players on target for the winners, David Dowling and Keith McLaughlin, getting important late scores there. In terms of other action, well, of course, in Tipperary, big interest there in the football at the moment. They've done quite well in the last couple of years through the minor and under 21, and obviously doing well getting to the latter stages of the senior All-Ireland Championship this year as well. Well, it was Rockmore Castellani who won their third title in 4 years. That was after a 19-16 win over Mile Rovers. And the man with the goal in that one was Keane Hennessy. And that came before half time, and the sides equally shared 6 points in a low-scoring second half. Also making a 3 out of 4 were St. Lomans in Westmead. 113-10 points had finished against Tyrrell's Pass at TEG Cusick Park. And the late Kieran Kilmurray goal ensuring the Flanagan Cup went to St. Lomans and Lake Point Park in front of almost 6,000. Tyrrell's Pass led 7-6 at half time, and indeed there was only 1 point between them with 2 minutes remaining before that strong finish as well. Just look at some other club football action, of course, and games in Munster and Ulster as well. Killy Clocher, too strong for Carrigan of Antrim in one of those quarterfinals in Ulster. 2-10-1-8, it finished in the end. First half goals from Mark Bradley and James Carlin, putting Killy Clocher into giving Killy Clocher their first ever Ulster Club Championship match win. Kilcoo advancing, of course, the 5-in-a-row champions in Down after a 112-16 win over Glen Swilly from Donegal. Of course, Darrell Hanlon with a second half penalty, the vital score, sending Kilcoo on their way to a 6-point win. Michael Murphy, of course, the Donegal captain, handing Glen Swilly a 4-6 point interval lead, but certainly Kilcoo very strong in the second half of that particular encounter. Mahara, who's picked up their first Armagh title, of course, no sign of Cross McGlen Rangers in an Armagh final this year. They were 113-110 winners over Ryanair United. Stephen Farker, the star here, scoring 5 late unanswered points for Mahara, who beat the Cavan champions, of course, Raymer seeing off Castle Raham last Sunday. Mahara led 1-5-1-2 at half time and finished strongly to set up a last four clash with Kilcoo. and Sloughnail, of course, well, capturing their first Ulster Club senior hurling title last weekend. Their footballers continuing to do well, of course, the recent provincial champions here, Sloughnail, and they negotiated the quarter final against their Erigani Harps from Fermanagh, 12 points to 7. Paul Bradley with 5 points for the Derry champions in this particular encounter. Moving to Munster then, no real surprises here as Dr. Crokes continued their journey in the 2016 Club Championships with a comfortable 114 to 8 points win over former Munster Club champions Kilmurry Albrickin from Clare. Second half penalty from Doughty Casey resulting in the only goal of this game, and well, 9 points to spare in the end in that game in Quilty. In the other Munster Club football game, victory for Carbery Rangers over Monaleen in this particular clash. And Carbery Rangers always on top against the Limerick side. 2-11, 7 points it finished in the end. The West Cork outfit leading 6 points to one after 23 minutes and extending their lead following an Alan Jennings goal. It was 1-8 to 3 points at the interval. Second goal then came early on the restart, a penalty goal from John O'Rourke. And an interesting side note in that game was that Limerick senior hurling coach Paul Kinnerick came off the bench to score a late point for Monaleen, but the result never in doubt in that one. 10 points the margin in the end. There was also action in Munster Club hurling. Great game in Semple Stadium. Worth looking at the highlights on TG Carr tonight of this one, or certainly getting the TG Carr player up and watching the full game. Just a point in the end, a par Burke last gasp 65, ensuring Turles Sarsfield's edge. Now Waterford champions Ballygunner in a thriller at Semple Stadium. 17 points to 16. It finished at the end. A very tight encounter here. 9 points to 7 in the winner's favour at half time. Late on, David O'Sullivan had equalised at 16 points each, but that last gasp score from the former Tipperary senior hurler Burke ensuring that Sars booked a semi-final date. There was also a couple of hurling county finals, of course. Bally A, well, first time champions, it seems to be the theme of our conversations over the last while, and they were 2-14 to 1-14 winners over Clonlara in the Clare senior hurling final. All-star football nominee Gary Brennan and Niall Deasy with the goals in this game, both in the opening half. They led 2-5 to 8 points at half time, but when John Conlon, the Clare senior hurler, netted in the 41st minute, the sides were back on level terms. But Ballyhea, with late scores from Damien Burke and former Hurler of the Year Tony Kelly, sealing an historic win, and now they face Turles Sarsfield in the Munster Club semi-finals as well. Also, senior hurling action in Roscommon and Mayo. Oran stopping Four Roads from a ninth title in a row, but they needed extra time in the replay. It was 2-15 to 1-12 after extra time. Jerry Fallon forcing extra time, sending over an equaliser for Oran. 11 points apiece at the end of normal time. And what a win there. Keith Higgins, of course, a man who pops up a lot, of course, in terms of senior football with Mayo, while also a hurler with Mayo. And he scored 1-9 as Ballyhaunis claimed victory. No surprise, he also got the Man of the Match award in that Mayo senior hurling final. 2-13 to 1-13 winners over Tureen in the replay in Ballyhaunis yesterday. He got a goal with 10 minutes remaining before adding 3 points from play to decide the outcome. David Harrison goal had led Tureen into a 1-12 to 1-9 lead after 45 minutes, but certainly Higgins was on fire all over the park in the final quarter. A very entertaining game. Ballyhaunis' first goal scored by Stephen Hunt after 14 minutes, not the soccer player, a very talented hurler, and they led 1-7 to 8 points at half time. So to ensure that the TJ Tyrrell Cup is in Ballyhaunis for another year, and a quick turnaround for both Ballyhaunis in Oran and Oran. They were in the Connacht Club Championship earlier this afternoon as well, so no rest for the wicked, I suppose. The one thing there was at least that both of them ended up with an equal status, if you like, having to celebrate wins before a quick turnaround to their provincial club championship action. Quick games to note also, of course, Kilkenny and Dublin, two big senior hurling finals at the weekend. Ballyhale Shamrock somewhat shocked in Kilkenny. O'Loughlin Gales, the winners there, 19 points to 112 at Nolan Park. And of course, O'Loughlin Gales had lost last year's final to Clara, and they put that disappointment behind them to take a fourth Kilkenny senior hurling title. Mark Bergen with 11 points for O'Loughlin in that game, and they held Shamrock scoreless in the final 10 minutes. And now the Kilkenny champions will face either Out at the Ballot or St. Rhinus in the Leinster Club semis on November 20th. Certainly interesting times there in Kilkenny. Similar times, though, in Dublin, Coola back-to-back titles, and they made the breakthrough, of course, last year with their first win, and they continue to hold the county silverware after the weekend action. Winners over Kilmacud Crokes in an entertaining decider at Parnell Park, and Coola retaining the title thanks to a goal from Sean Cronin. It finished in Parnell Park. Coola 115, Kilmacud Crokes 15 points in the end. All one-way traffic early on, Coola leading 1-5 to no score, and it took 23 minutes before Kilmacud opened their account thanks to an Oisín O'Rourke 65. O'Rourke, the top scorer in this game, with 10 of Crokes 15 points, and outscoring Coola by 11 points to 7 in the second half after Coola had led 1-8 to 4 points at half-time. Was certainly in that second half. Coola, the good start, half the battle for Coola, and they went on to hold out for victory, a 3-point win in the end, and they now face first-time Laois winners Boris Kilcotton in the Leinster quarter-final next Sunday in Parnell Park at 2 p.m. So a busy weekend of action, a lot of similar teams, as I said, first-time champions, a lot of close games, and of course there'll be a slight chance for some of these players to get a bit of respite next Friday night, of course, with the GAA All-Stars on in the Convention Centre as well.
Yeah, busy weekend, club GAA again. And just very quickly as well, Rugby Pro 12 of the weekend, Munster beat Ulster 15 points to 14, and Leinster beat Connacht 24-13. Colleen, thanks very, very much for your report on the weekend's GAA action and the marathon as well. I'm off to kind of start training for next year's marathon. I'm kind of enthused by your enthusiasm for the race itself.
Yeah, we might organise a run from Dublin to Brighton, or Brighton to Dublin, or maybe you could run when you're coming home to Cork the next time. You get some respite crossing the sea and the ferry, but you'll have to start running again once you reach the port.
Yeah, definitely up for it. Colleen, thanks again. Thank you very, very much.
No problem at all.
From the heart of Brighton, a taste of home.
Here we go, man. Tonight we gonna rap for free. You know that tonight, man, we grapple these with Anthony. How you doing right now? First of all, speak words. First thing we get from the radio reverbs.
Brighton's weekly Irish radio show, What's the Crack? With Anthony Martin on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.